College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In-studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and a break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the woman and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Later in this show, we'll be joined by Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson as part of our American Athletic Conference off-season breakdown. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms. And check out collegehoopstoday.com for podcast archives, stories, breaking news, and analysis of the greatest sport that we have on our planet. And also, send me your American Athletic Conference-related questions on Twitter. I'll get to them later in this podcast. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And I want to let you know today's episode of the College Hoops Today podcast being sponsored by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. And now we've got you set for all your Geico needs. A few big picture storylines in college basketball before we get into the American Athletic Conference. Last week, Kofi Coburn from Illinois, All-American big man, announces that he will return to school in Champaign for his junior season. This is a monumental coup for Brad Underwood, Illinois, in the Big Ten. This makes Illinois, in my opinion, a top three team in the Big Ten, along with Purdue and Michigan, and a team that I instantly moved into my top 10 nationally. With Coburn at center, with Andre Curbelo at point guard, Illinois has two of the top 15 players in college basketball. And remember, Illinois last year without Ayo Dosunmu in the lineup was 3-0, won games at Michigan and Wisconsin. Texas Tech made a big addition in Oral Roberts' transfer, Kevin O'Banner. Texas Tech won't have what it had, in my opinion, last year under Chris Beard because of the shot-making ability of Mac McClung, but the Red Raiders still have enough to get to the NCAA tournament. And speaking of Chris Beard, he made another big impact addition over the weekend as Texas landed Minnesota transfer Marcus Carr. Look, since Chris Beard got to Austin, Texas has landed via the transfer portal Marcus Carr from Minnesota, Dylan Disu from Vanderbilt, Christian Bishop from Creighton, also Trey Mitchell from UMass, Timmy Allen from Utah, Devin Askew from Kentucky. Texas is in position right now to go to a Final Four in Chris Beard's first season as head coach of Texas. I have him ranked number 5 because the teams ahead of Texas, Gonzaga, UCLA, Villanova, Kansas, all have more returning talent, and returning talent always usurps incoming talent in college basketball. But Texas, good enough to go to a Final Four, win a national title in year one under Chris Beard. Now, a team that went to the Final Four last year out of the state of Texas and didn't win a national championship because Baylor won the national championship was Houston. The Cougars were one of two teams from the American Athletic Conference to reach the NCAA tournament. It was a two-bid league. Wichita State was the other team that reached the NCAA tournament, but I really think this conference is on the uptick. Larry Brown joining Memphis's staff should make a huge, huge impact on Petty Hardaway and company. The Tigers last year played exceptionally good basketball when DeAndre Williams was in the lineup. They played Houston exceptionally tough a couple of times late in the season. Wichita State is going to get Tyson Etienne back after going through the NBA draft process. He'll be one of the best guards in the country. I think UCF is a team that not a lot of people are talking about nationally, but returns virtually everybody of significance. SMU gets Kendrick Davis back, one of the top scores and assist men in the conference. But Houston right now has really separated itself, especially after a Final Four run, as the flagship program in the American Athletic Conference. What can the Cougars do for an encore, and just how many bids are possible for the American Athletic Conference in 2022? We'll find out when we check in with Kelvin Sampson, the head coach of Houston, coming up next on the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Houston was one of four teams to reach the Final Four last year in Indianapolis. The Cougars had a season to remember. The head coach of Houston is Kelvin Sampson. He now joins the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. And coach, do you feel any different after going to a Final Four for the second time, but with a different school?
Well, there's always a feeling of a accomplishment with the group you do it with. And there's that last year with COVID, what we all had to go through. I don't think there's anybody unique or separate with that. We all had to battle it in our own ways, but some more than others. But, you know, we got hit hard for a four-week stretch there and came through it. Had a little adversity here and there. But for that team to come together, you know, we had a really good player transfer. We had a really good player tear an ACL. A really good player decided not to come back, keep his name in the draft. We lost a big senior in Chris Harris. But like a lot of teams, we had a lot of adversity. And for us to cap that year off by going to the and winning our conference tournament and going from there and being in Indy for 20 days or whatever it was and being one of the four teams left, tremendous accomplishment. That group was special. And I'll remember that team and how invested they were in winning in each other. And I've said this many times, John, when your best players care more about winning than they do statistics. Dejon Giroux was a great example of that. You know, Quentin Grimes' success was important to him personally. He took it personal that Quentin did good. You know, Quentin took it personal that Justin Gorham was the best rebounder in the country. It was fun listening to them. You know, sometimes it would just be quiet, listen to what the players are saying. You can tell where their minds are. But they all were pushing each other to be the best they could be. And there was zero selfishness or me, I. That team was a team in every respect. One of the best teams. Forget final results, just the team. And they had such great chemistry and they had such great love for each other. And that's, it was fun to be around them. And I was just appreciative of their efforts and their attitudes all year.
Well, and you just highlighted why it was such a special run for you, your program, the city. You did not have the final result that you wanted in the Final Four. As a coach and as a competitor, do you look back on how special the run was or look back on how it ended against a great team in Baylor that won the national championship?
Well, 2 hours, that felt like 10 hours there for a while. First half wasn't very much fun, but that was a great team. That was, you know, we've been here seven seasons now, and that was by far the best team we've played against. And we played against some really good teams. Last two tournaments, I mean, we lost to Kentucky in the last minute. Michigan beat us at the buzzer. Both really good teams, but the best team we've played against is Baylor. That was an old, veteran, talented, well-coached machine. I mean, they were really good. And the night we played them, they were exceptionally good. I wish we could have played better, but, you know, you play, I think we were 28-4, so that's, what is it? That's 31 games we played prior to that game. Mm-hmm. And so the journey is what you remember. You don't remember the destination so much because that's one day, a moment. But the journey with this group, and you have reminders. You know, we have a Final Four banner. We have, you know, championship rings, all that stuff. It doesn't say anything about the Baylor game. It talks about the season. The season for the combatants, players and coaches, the season will always be more important than the destination. The destination is for fans and for people to talk about here and there, but that's 2 hours. You know, this group was together for a whole year. That's what we'll remember.
Well, you'll remember the season, and as you mentioned, the game that you played against Baylor was for 2 hours. But, Coach, there was a moment after you beat Oregon State in the Elite Eight with you, your son Kellen, who's your top assistant, and obviously he's going to be the next coach at Houston, and your daughter Lauren, when the three of you were just entrenched in a hug. And, you know, if you're a human being, it makes you want to come to tears to see a family celebrating a moment of that magnitude together. What was that like?
You know, I get asked that a lot, John, and I maybe it's because I'm just not smart enough to come up with the right answer. But, you know, human emotions are, we all have them. You know, I don't think I'm any different than anybody else when it comes to how I feel about certain events. You know, you know when you're when you get married that day. You know, when you have kids, when you see your baby for the first time. Right. How do you explain that? How do you explain that emotion? Going to the Final Four, you got to be so lucky and so good. I think back to the Rutgers game, and we easily could have lost that game. You know, sometimes I'm still trying to figure out how we won it, but we did. All right. That matters. We did. I felt so bad for Coach Steve and his team. What a great year they had. But for us, being able to win that game, then Syracuse and Oregon State, and then just a culmination of what it was like when we first got here 7 years ago, when we walked into that locker room the first time, when the those days of practicing at Hopkins when we could only use half the court because it was raining so hard outside and we had to put trash cans at the free throw line or the baseline to catch the water. Just all the stuff that nobody knows about. I could go on and on and on, but nobody cares about that but us. You know, the things you overcome to get there, and it's not easy. It's not. There's no guarantees. But, you know, Kellen and Lauren are a big reason why I wanted to do this, because I wanted to do it with them. I felt like I'd missed out on that in my career, and I wanted to experience that because I knew how good they were and how special they were in their individual talents. I knew they could help a program, and if they were going to help a program, I wanted them to help the program that I was going to run. But, you know, all those are every experience we have are shared experiences. It happens because of somebody else. You know, Joe Castiglione, my former AD at AD at University of Oklahoma, sent me a letter. And he sent a beautiful note with me. We always talked about the people involved every step of the way that helps you when you cut a net down. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's your academic people or your managers, your support staff, everybody's involved. So when we cut those nets down after the Oregon State game and I climbed the ladder, I thought about Joe, and I thought about everything that we always talked about how the credit is so shared and so many people, our administration, President Couture, Mac Rhodes, Hunter Yurecek, Chris Pesman, the three ADs I've had, they've all had a hand in this. Chris Pesman's just, you know, has been nothing but ultra supportive of our program since we've been here. But, you know, you can go on and on thanking people and giving people credit, but the bottom line, the credit goes to the players.
Right.
They're the ones that sacrificed and came together and believed in each other and shared this common goal and played for each other. All the Coach Speak stuff. That's what they did. And all those moments, I think, came crashing down on us at once when I realized what we'd accomplished, and I'd done it with my family. And even though my wife, Karen, couldn't be down on the floor, you know, she was the fourth one in that hug. So she's been our rock. You know, she's everything that we've been through. She's kind of been the one that's been the guide on the ship, so to speak. So those emotions, and, you know, I think everybody that would have been in my shoes at that moment probably would have felt the same way.
Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Now, as I get older and the more years I spend doing this, you know, I'm starting to think more and more that, you know, coaches in some ways are unfairly judged by what happens in the NCAA tournament because the margin of a win or a loss is so slim. Jordan Poole could have easily missed that shot a couple of years ago, and you guys could have went to the Final Four, and the same thing could be said about Tyler Hero's three-pointer against Kentucky, and, you know, you guys could have went to the Final Four that year as well, and you guys could have lost to Rutgers. So when you, as somebody who's gone through it for so long, think about the level of separation in terms of winning and losing in the NCAA tournament when you don't have a great team like an all-time team, is it a little bit sometimes unfair that coaches are viewed a certain way when they're the same coach, whether they lose a 50-50 game or not?
Well, I'll probably, but, you know, that's not going to stop people from doing it. So I think the simple answer, and I've done a lot of Zoom calls with assistant coaches. Shaka Smart called and asked me if I would speak to a group of assistant coaches that he does a great job of mentoring. I was in a Peace Jam in Augusta the last two or three days, and, you know, Mick Cronin and I were just sitting there talking about something very similar to what you're talking about, John. I think the longer you coach, the more you realize that, you know, if somebody makes a statement about that, whether it's negative or construed as negative, you learn it really that it's a statement. Nobody really cares. So why would you worry about it? You know, just don't think that people really, really care about your problems or something that happened to you. You know, some people may do it, but, you know, most people that are negative are negative in about every area of their life too. So shouldn't let what people say bother you. You know, I mean, you really shouldn't. I think you said something really important, John. The older you get, the less important other people's opinions become. But you're probably right. It's hard to win a championship. It's hard to win games. It's hard to make the tournament. It's hard to advance in the tournament. You know, Mick was talking about his UCL, his Michigan State game.
Yep.
You know, and people talk about Chris Paul's never won a championship. Well, if you're going to judge people based on whether they won a championship or not, you're going to miss out on a hell of a career.
Right.
There's a lot of great coaches that have been at schools that just don't have the resources to make the tournament. They maybe can't get certain players, but they're great coaches. You know, just great coaches people's never heard of because they haven't been in the tournament. So you don't let other people judge you. I know who I am as a person. I know who I am as a coach. What people say really is irrelevant when it comes to that kind of stuff. I know a lot of great coaches, man. You know, you sit around that gym and you look around and you see guys that are grinding and working hard. And, you look over and you see a guy like Scott Drew. His first two or three years at Baylor were my last two or three years at Oklahoma.
Right.
I just admire. I have so much respect for what he was able to do. But until the last two or three years, he wasn't a good coach. But he was a great coach the whole time because of how he built that program. It just came to fruition this year. But he didn't become a great coach this year. He was a great coach. He was a great coach the day he walked into Baylor because he had to be great to build that thing. And he didn't build it in 1 year. He built it in 15, 18, ever how many years it was. So, you know, you're always working. You sacrifice. You do it for your players. You try to help them be successful. You get your joy from their success. And And as a coach, you can never lose sight of that, why you got into coaching in the first place. Why do you coach? You don't coach for adoration or adulation or for people to say nice things about you. That's not why you coach. So why would you worry about if they say negative stuff? You're here for the players, for their success, and to help them. And if you're fortunate and lucky and get good players and get them to play a certain way, you can win. But if you don't, it's the way it goes sometimes.
You know, you said something interesting when you were describing Coach Drew, and you talked about how he built a program at Baylor. And building a program means that annually you're going to have a chance to advance in the NCAA tournament. And from my perspective, with what we're seeing now in college basketball with immediate eligibility and freedom of movement, programs are going to be an outlier and building teams are going to be a commonality. Now, that doesn't apply to Houston because in, you know, less than a decade now, you have built one of college basketball's best programs. What does that program look like in terms of next year's rendition?
Yeah, it's always a little bit of a crapshoot now on who's staying and who's leaving. I knew Dejan was going to leave. I always thought there might be a chance Justin may come back. But, you know, when Justin came to me at the end of the season and he talked about it, I said, Justin, you had a great year. You know what? You should go capitalize on this year. There's no guarantees. You know, this is your fifth year. You know, Go see the world. Go be the best Justin you can be. Go find out what your worth is. That's what we all do. Kids, guys that are non-athletes, they go to college. They want to be teachers. They major in business. They major in music. And they want to get jobs.
Right. You know?
And after 4 years, they leave. Well, Justin's been in college 5 years. Why would he come back for a sixth? For what reason? So he could increase his value. His value is already high. So my advice to our guys is find out what your worth is. And if it's something that you can capitalize on it, you should go. But our team next year, I think we're going to be solid. I think that's our floor. I don't know what our ceiling is. I have no idea what last year's team's ceiling was either. But I think our floor is that we're going to be solid. We've got some veterans in the backcourt in Marcus Sasser, Jamon Mark. I've watched Tyler Edwards now for about 6 or 7 weeks, and Kyler's a worker. I think he's going to really help our program. Tajay Moore is a fifth-year transfer from Cal State Bakersfield, electrifying athlete. You know, once we get him harnessed and learn how to do what we do, I think he's going to really help us. So our backcourt solid. Jamal Shedd played spot minutes last year, but I think he has a bright future. Ramon Walker is another freshman. You know, when they allowed freshmen to repeat their freshman year, we all have more freshmen than you really want. So nobody wants seven freshmen. I mean, I got seven freshmen. What am I going to do with seven freshmen? I feel like, you know, I got a family of two, and I got six milk cows. That's too many cows. I just need one. You know, seven freshmen. I was looking at them today. I said, my God, what am I going to do with you guys? But we had four freshmen the year before, and Tremont and Kieron Powell and Jamal Shedd, Jaywan Roberts. And now here comes three more freshmen, Robbie Armbruster, Ramon Walker, and Javier Francis, and they all seven of them are good players, and they all have bright futures. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of sacrifice and decisions that's got to be made for this team to work. That's just the way it is. That's what our coaching staff, that's what we'll do. I think this has got a chance, John, to be the best front line we've had since we've been here collectively. You know, Fabian White, I think, is going to have a terrific senior year. Jaywan Roberts, that's a kid that had 14 rebounds against Boise State last year. Mm-hmm. And was starting to play really good when Fabian came back, and he had to sacrifice, and his minutes went way down. So Fabian and Jaywan, I think, will be solid to good at the four and then at the five. Reggie Chaney is a returning starter. Josh Carlton was a former most improved player in this league at one point. I think he averaged 9 points and 7 rebounds in our conference, so he's a proven player. And then we have two exciting young kids in Kieron Powell and Javier Francis. So we've got a good mix of guys up front, got some veterans in the backcourt. So we're excited to work with this group and see what we can build and mold them into.
You know, one of the things that you're always quick to point out when you have really, really good teams is that, you know, you have somebody who you point to as your identity guy. And last year, that was definitely Justin Gorham. Who could be the identity guy for Houston during the upcoming season?
Yeah, that's a great question, John. I mean, we were just talking about that, sitting in those gyms. You know, I sit down with Kellen or Qantas or KC, and we're always talking about our team and how we can make it better. But Reggie Chaney can be. He's you know, we call it dog. He's got a lot of dog in him. I mean, he's a tough kid. Fabian's a tough kid. I think once Kyler gets comfortable, he's another tough kid. You know, I've been through a lot of wars with Marcus Sasser. Marcus doesn't back down from anybody. Marcus is certainly not a bombastic kid. He's kind of a quiet leader, silent assassin, if you will. Tremont's kind of a silent assassin. But I think the two guys that probably have the best chance is Fabian and Reggie.
Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson joined the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Well, you know, Coach, it was interesting last season watching the evolution of a team in your league in Memphis, because they were a completely different team when DeAndre Williams was in the lineup. You had a number of battles with them that came down to the final minute of the game, one that you won, obviously, on the last play. They are one piece of a team or of a conference along with Houston who had a lot of guys back from the NBA draft process. Tyson Etienne went back to Wichita State. UCF brought C.J. Walker back. They have a number of players back. Kendrick Davis went back to SMU. With that said, how does this conference, how does this league get more respect and attention nationally in the grand landscape moving forward?
Put more teams in the tournament in advance. I mean, that's... you take a paintbrush and paint the walls all you want. You just need to hang one picture. Make the tournament and advance. And I think we have the teams to do it. The best defense, we played against two great defenses last year. Baylor and Memphis were the two best. Mm-hmm. Played against a lot of good ones. But the two best was Memphis and Baylor. Memphis causes problems. Penny is really, really good at mixing things up and causing problems. You know, we won four games in the NCAA tournament. Those two games against Memphis was as tough as any games we played outside of Baylor. Memphis is good. I mean, we beat them twice, but they could have easily won both of those games. Now, Marcus's shot doesn't go in. It's still going to go to overtime, so we still could have won the game in overtime. But they deserved to win that game just as much as we did. And then once we got to the tournament, conference tournament, we were trailing that game, I think, in the last 2 minutes, if I'm not mistaken. And Quentin jumped up and hit a couple big shots. But I knew when I saw that Memphis didn't make the tournament, the first thing I said, I bet you they win the NIT.
Right.
They were playing really, really good at the end. And, you know, when you're a really good recruiter, people think that obviously you can't coach. Mm-hmm. You know, people that don't know what they're talking about used to say that about Nolan Richardson. You know, he can recruit but can't coach. You know, what a stupid thing to say about a Hall of Fame coach. And I feel the same way about Penny. I think Penny is a tremendous recruiter, but he's also becoming an outstanding coach. From where he started to where he is now, Memphis basketball is in great shape. They're going to be really good. Tim Jankovic might be the most unlucky coach in the country with all of the stuff he had to inherit and the fires he's had to put out. But when he got Kendrick Davis back, he got a potential player of the year in our conference. And they're going to be really good. I think Memphis is a tournament team. SMU's a tournament team. I think Wichita State's a tournament team. I think we have four teams that have the potential to make it if we stay healthy and our new guys produce. Then there are sleeper teams like Central Florida. They got everybody back, and they were right. talented. And what we don't know is how COVID affected these teams. You know, as fans, you sit back and you don't know what you don't know. You know, you're just judging things on the surface. You don't know what's below the surface that causes some of these things. And I know COVID really hit Central Florida. And then there's other teams. I know Tulane's putting together a really good roster. Joe Dooley and Brian Gregory, Frank Hayes, those guys are all good coaches, man. They're just good ball coaches. Their team's always going to be right there. So I'm excited about our conference this coming season. I'm excited about the improvement all of our teams has made. And that's good for our conference. We need Memphis to be good. We need Cincinnati to be good. Cincinnati, to me, has been the most consistently good team from when we first got here. They've been a rock in this conference. You know, they hit a roadblock this year, but you know, we're staying in this business long enough, you are going to hit one of those. But they've got a great brand. They got a great name. The Cincinnati Bearcats are one of the great brands in college basketball. They'll be there. So I'm proud of our league. I'm proud of the teams in our league, and I love the new coaches we brought in. So I think our conference is going to be right there. You know, you said we don't get enough respect. I don't care about that. The respect will come when we get more teams in the tournament, we advance. There's an easy solution to that. So you don't sit around and bitch about what we don't have. You go do something about it, and that's the solution.
Well, before you get to your conference opponents, you're going to have to obviously deal with, you know, a vicious non-conference schedule, which is what you've always done since you've been at Houston. But you know, it says something about a program when not only are they going to a Final Four, but they're playing the elite programs in the sport, and they're also playing in the elite tournaments in the sport. You know, you're going to be in the Maui Invitational this year, and you're also starting a series with Virginia, and you're going to have, you know, a team that won the 2019 national title in your building. It means a lot to go to a Final Four, but when you can associate with these key non-conference opportunities, how does it augment your brand as a whole?
You know, you're right. I mean, we had a great schedule going into last year, John. We were playing LSU, Alabama. We were in the Charleston Classic with Florida State, Oklahoma State, ECU, Penn State. Can't remember the other teams, but we had a great non-conference setup that we had to scrap because of COVID, obviously. But this year, we have Virginia at home. We go to Alabama. We play Oklahoma State on a neutral court. I think all three of those teams are a couple of them. Alabama's obviously a top 10 team. I think Oklahoma State's going to wind up being a Sweet 16, top seed type team. Virginia's Virginia. You know, they're coached by Tony Bennett. You don't need to say anything else. You know how good they're going to be. And then we're in the Maui Classic with Oregon and Wisconsin, Notre Dame, Texas A&M, St. Mary's, all good programs. So, you know, you're going to take some lumps, especially when you lost what we lost. We're trying to figure out a new identity and who our players are. But that's okay. You know, you lose a game here or there and November, December, when you're trying to figure out who you are, you just learn from it, get back to practice, work on your mistakes, get better, move on down the road. But our schedule this year is going to give us an opportunity to find out a lot about this team in November and December.
Well, final thing, Coach, you know, November and December are going to be obviously a litmus test for, as you mentioned, what you need to work on in order to be in position again to make a run, because that's why all coaches do what they do, to experience what you experienced last year going to a Final Four. To have a team that's capable of doing that again, What has to happen between now and when you begin your conference tournament?
I think for us, it's point guard play, John. And, you know, we lost our last two point guards have been high level. Galen Robinson you know, led us to a Sweet 16. He was the he kind of put the key in ignition for us. He helped that team get better. Dejan Giroux, same way. He made our team better. Those guys sacrificed and were leaders. They care more about winning than anything else. And we're bringing in a new point guard. Just because you slide one out, move one in, doesn't mean it's going to be at that same level. You know, so whoever our point guard is this year is going to be a big key, I think, to this team moving forward. And we have two good candidates, Marcus Sasser and Jamal Shedd. And one of those guys will probably be the starting point guard. And they've got to develop and come along, you know. But I think that's going to be key. And then I think guys just accepting the culture that we've built, the new guys buying in. You know, when you're a freshman, you have to come along slowly. But we have two fifth-year grad transfers, and Josh Carlton from Connecticut and Tajay Moore from Cal State Bakersfield. And I, you know, I saw him this morning at 6:30. Mm-hmm. Said, "You guys, you know, you don't have a month or two to figure this out. We need you to figure this out here in about 5 minutes. Let's go. You know, get going." Same thing with Kyler Edwards. Those three guys are going to be foundational pieces for this team. You know, you lose Quentin Grimes, you lose Dejan Giroux, Justin Gorham, Bryson Gresham. You didn't just lose numbers. you lost our bloodline. You lost who we are. And now we're starting over with a new group. And it's not easy. It's hard to do that. But we're going to work at it, John. These kids are high-level character guys. Character guys handle adversity better than others. But I'm excited about this team. You know, we'll see what happens. But I think that's going to become my answer. It's going to be two words, John. How about that? I'm just going to say, we'll see.
I like it, Coach. I like it. It's simplistic and sometimes less is more. But we appreciate a couple minutes. Congratulations on a great run last year. Enjoy the rest of your summer, and as always, look forward to staying connected along the way.
John, thank you for everything you do for college basketball. You keep us relevant 12 months a year. That's a credit to you and the work you've done. We appreciate you.
We'd like to thank Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. I want to remind you to subscribe to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein on Apple Podcasts. We want to be your Bible for the college basketball season and beyond. We are the only college basketball podcast coming to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. Also want to remind you to check out the College Hoops Today fan page on Facebook. Give us a like, give us a review. Let us know what you think of the product we're bringing to you 52 weeks out of the calendar year. And also a reminder to find and listen to the College Hoops Today podcast on all the popular podcast platforms, and check out collegehoopstoday.com for podcast archives, breaking news, analysis, and much more on the greatest sport that we have on our planet. Time now for our social media portion of the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. Send me your questions on Twitter. I'm at John Rothstein. That's John, J-O-N. And our first question comes from Lance is Goat, and it's, John, what is Cincinnati's ceiling this year, and what do you think of the state of the program under Wes Miller? Look, I think Wes Miller did a really, really good job stabilizing the program after everything that happened when John Brannan obviously departed the program. Wes Miller has built a really competitive roster, in my opinion, for next season, and he's obviously recruiting well, and he's proving that this was a really, really strong hire for Cincinnati, but it's going to take some time. Cincinnati, of course, has a standard of being a perennial NCAA tournament team each and every season. Next question comes from Dylan Warner. It's, John, will the Shockers go the distance this year in year two under Isaac Brown. Look, I think that Wichita State is a top three team in this league, along with Houston and Memphis. I do think that UCF is really, really interesting. And I think with Kendrick Davis coming back to school, SMU becomes really interesting. There's a number of good teams in this conference, but the American Athletic Conference is going to have to get mileage in November and December when there's non-conference games for this conference to move the needle. That is going to be really pivotal for this league to become a 3-4 bid league in the NCAA tournament in the American Athletic Conference. Preseason power rankings are being brought to you this week by Geico. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do, and I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners and renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. That's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com. Now, let's get to those nuggets.
John's American Power Rankings.
No surprise, I got Houston at one. Memphis is in the two hole, followed by Wichita State and SMU in three and four, respectively. UCF is five, Cincinnati six, Tulsa seven, East Carolina under Joe Dooley eight, Temple nine, Tulane, and then South Florida will be 9, 10, and 11. Now, here's the league's first team.
John's American preseason first team.
Tyson Etienne of Wichita State, also Kendrick Davis of SMU, Marcus Sasser of Houston, and two players from Memphis, Landers Nolly and DeAndre Williams. Now, how about the preseason player of the year?
John's American preseason player of the year.
It's going to be Tyson Etienne from Wichita State. Just a dynamic guard, can fill the box, score, great size. He is the best player in the league until proven otherwise. But who's the sleeper?
John's American sleeper.
I'm going with UCF. You know, Johnny Dawkins' team has some really, really nice pieces. Isaiah Adams, a potential burgeoning star. Darius Perry is back for another year of eligibility. I think UCF is a dark horse NCAA tournament team in 2022. Now, how about some breakout guys?
John's American breakout players for next season.
In no particular order, Tremont Mark from Houston, Ricky Council from Wichita State, Isaiah Adams from UCF, Mikey Saunders from Cincinnati, and Sion James from Tulane. Now, how about some impact transfers?
John's transfers to watch in the American.
And again, no particular order. Kyler Edwards from Houston by way of Texas Tech. Earl Timberlake and Chandler Lawson coming to Memphis from Miami and Oregon, respectively. Abdullah Doe from Cincinnati. And also John Newman III from Cincinnati. They came from Mississippi State and Clemson. Michael Weathers came to SMU from Texas Southern. Marcus Weathers came to SMU from Duquesne. Jariah Horn is back at Tulsa after a brief stint at Colorado. And then two big pickups by Joe Dooley in East Carolina. Winston Tabbs from Boston College. And Vance Jackson from East Carolina. Now, how about some freshmen?
John's freshman to watch in the American.
Again, in no particular order, Joshua Wilmot from Memphis, Sam Iomide from Memphis, Stefan Todorovic from SMU, Ramon Walker from Houston, and Darius Johns from UCF. I will point out, this is a league that is heavy, heavy reliant on transfers. Guys are going to be older, so I don't think you'll see as many true freshmen have an impact in the American Athletic Conference. We'd like to thank Houston head coach Kelvin Sampson for joining the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, as well as the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein.